from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's 9:42. As you probably know, if you listen to this show anyway, with any regularity, I'm an adoptee. I was adopted by my mom and dad when I was 3 days old. And it is an amazing, wonderful thing that we do. And, you know, it's a cliche, but it's true. Anybody can have a kid, or at least almost anybody, but people that go through the process of adoption really want to have a kid. And it's an invasive process. It's an expensive process. It's time-consuming. And it's unbelievably rewarding. So if you're an adoptive parent, let me start with thank you for that. I've got a couple of people here in studio who also have taken it to the next level with foster care and are going to explain a little bit about the tie between adoption and foster care and why it's so important in National Adoption Month. So meet Bob and Wendy Noonan. Bob is the chairman of the board of directors for Let It Be Us. We'll tell you what that is in just a second. And Wendy's a court-appointed special advocate for Lake County. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
It's nice to see you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
And Let It Be Us, I should say. Ross will be on later. My son, Ross, will be on later this week to talk about it. But he and his wife Lauren, my daughter-in-law, they got started in foster care because of Let It Be Us.
Yes, yeah. Actually, I think your son Ross was at one of our Finding Forever family events down in Joliet last year. So, and I remember chatting with him after I was emceeing that event for Let It Be Us.
And now they're fostering.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Awesome. That's incredible.
Give me some background on you guys. I mean, you have kids. You've got a busy family life. What got you started in fostering or got you aware of
it? Yeah, that's a great question. I'll have Wendy expand on it. I like to joke that we're biological empty nesters. But we've started all over again because right now we have our fourth and fifth kids or children are 6 and 7 years old. But our bio kids are 27, 25, and 23.
One of them is on the phone, by the way.
Oh, good. Melanie's on.
Melanie's on the phone. And while you guys were off playing radio with me this morning, she was putting the little, is it brother and sister?
Yes.
No, two brothers.
Little brothers getting them ready for school. Good morning, Melanie.
Hi, good morning.
I shouldn't say school because everybody's off today, including you. You're a teacher?
Yeah, I teach in CPS, but my little brother had school in the suburbs.
Oh, they
actually.
Did? Okay.
Yeah.
So how old were you when mom and dad came to you and said, what would you think if we brought home a couple of new kiddos?
We started when I was, I believe, a sophomore in high school. So I was 15 or 16 years old.
And that's a fair time to be selfish in life and want to make it all about you.
Especially dad's little princess and the baby
family. Yes, yes, yes. So did it rock your world or did you go, no, that's mom and dad?
I was actually over the moon excited to start. I'm really similar to my mom and my dad in the fact that I like helping out and I love younger kids. And I honestly wasn't that upset because at the time I was the only kid home. My brothers were in college. So it took a lot of attention off me, which was actually nice when I was in high school.
Right, so you could sneak out at night and do what she was planning on doing. Well, Melanie, one of the reasons I want to bring that up, and Bob, you can speak to this as well, is for people that go, I can't do it. I can't foster. I can't adopt. I'll turn my house upside down. Give your kids some credit.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I think it's expanded our horizon and realizing, we didn't go out looking to adopt kids, but we did hear, hey, there's a big need out there. And so we started just taking temporary custody of a lot of kids with the goal of getting them reunited with their biological family.
Well, first you had to become qualified to do that, though.
There's a licensing
procedure.
Yes. Oh, right?
Very good. Yes. Yeah. There is a, you do have to realize, hey, we're going to make this step. And there is qualifications and licenses for good reason. So.
And does Illinois do pretty well with that? With all the criticism we give to the state of Illinois, are the process to becoming foster parents, is it pretty good?
It is pretty good. I mean, it's needed for sure. I mean, they do a good job. I guess what we need to do is identify foster parents or people that want to come in and say, "Hey, I'm going to put a little skin in the game," because there is training that's required. Certification needed, but there's a huge need for really good foster families coming in to take kids because there's so many kids in Illinois foster care right now. There's around 18,000.
18,000?
Yes.
Wendy, you mentioned, and Bob, you just mentioned training. When we say the word training, you think about training, you think, well, is it a parenting training? What goes into training and certification to be foster eligible?
A lot of the training is parenting. Even though we were parents, we went through the training. There's a lot of training involved around things that the kids may have experienced that we may not be aware of, like trauma or things kids have witnessed, how to deal with those problems. A lot of training on education, getting them into the proper school system and mainstreaming them into school, and training on how to deal with their biological family and, you know, the parameters of all of that.
Let me ask you something in reverse order here, because it's sort of the end part of this, but one of the concerns I've heard many, many times is for people saying fostering, I could never give the kid back. The child comes into my home, I don't know how to say goodbye to them, you know, whether they're with me. What do you do to intellectualize it?
You have to do it. You have to go into it with an open mind and an open heart and realize that whatever amount of time you have that child, even if it is 3 or 4 months, you hopefully made some sort of a difference that they will take with them.
And the best case scenario is a child returns to their biological parents who are now healthy enough to take care of them, right?
Exactly. Getting the right counseling, getting the right, becoming healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, look, DCFS gets wrapped, but the vast majority of people at DCFS are working their tails off to do the right thing every single day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I will say that the state or the government cannot raise children.
Right.
And that's where we need, you know, a child just needs unconditional love and guidance.
Melanie, you're a teacher, so you must love kids, but tell me about your little brothers.
My little brothers are probably my favorite people in the entire world.
Oh, including your mom and dad. Look at you.
It was special because my dad travels for work, so my mom and I are home alone a lot when I was living at home in high school. So I got to see the ins and outs of helping raise them, especially. We brought Kevin, the youngest, we brought him home from the hospital. And so being there from the beginning until now, I feel like I just have a really special bond with them, and they care a lot about me, and they always try to take care of me, too. So it's
How sweet is that?
Yeah. Except for when she came home from college, they're like, you left, and this is not your house or your mom and dad anymore.
We took the room.
Yeah, that's what they said.
They didn't want me to come back.
Melanie, I'm sure you'd straighten them out. Thanks for calling, by the way. Hold the line for just a second, and we'll come back and talk more about this. It's National Adoption Month. LetItBeUs.org, a great place to start for information.
Absolutely, yes.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
November, National Adoption Month, talking with Bob and Wendy Noonan, and talking about, amongst other things, Let It Be Us, LetItBeUs.org, a great way for you to get information to lead you down that road to possible fostering and adoption. What is the length, Bob, between the link between fostering and adoption? In other words, when you foster, you don't necessarily adopt, right?
No.
That's the important difference?
Yes, correct. Exactly.
Sorry, microphone.
Oh,
thank
sorry.
You. That wasn't you, it was me.
So when you become a foster parent, you do not have to adopt. In fact, you know, one of the goals is to take temporary custody of kids and give them some, you know, parenting, unconditional love and guidance with the intent of bringing them back or sending them back to their bio.
That's always the goal, right? The goal is healthy parents. Yes.
But if you look at the statistics, unfortunately, greater than 50% of the kids that are end up brought in care by the state don't return to their bio.
But if somebody wants to get into fostering and they're concerned because they don't think I can adopt and they don't want to feel guilty because they can't take a child who needs to be adopted, the program understands that, right?
Exactly, yes. And in fact, you can put your toe in the water and get licensed and become RESPIS, where you may just take kids for, you know, a short amount of time.
If really important thing.
Somebody's going on a vacation and for some reason needs somebody to for a week-long stay for their kids they're fostering.
Because so they need a break.
Exactly. So there's a lot of different avenues people can take that want to support, you know, kids in foster care.
Now, Wendy, through no fault of their own, a lot of these kids are fetal alcoholic, or they've just gone through hell, or they've been in a domestic violence situation. And there are a lot of well-meaning folks who go, I don't know if I can take that on. I don't know what to do. Along with the training they get, what do you say to those people?
Well, there's a lot of support systems in place. You know, as soon as you take a child in your home, and actually all the children that are in the system is no fault of their own. Not one child gets there because they did something wrong. But if you take a child in, for instance, you know, even kids that are handicapped or autistic or anything, there are services in place. There is therapies in place. You know, they come with a medical card, so there's no cost out of pocket for medication for dentistry, all of those type of things.
And there are no stupid questions. Once you're in the program, there's a network of help.
There is a network of help. And there's a lot of support, foster, you know, parent support groups that are fabulous resources for new foster parents.
There's nothing you'll experience that someone else hasn't already experienced that you can pick up the phone or get online to talk to them. All right, I got less than a minute here, and I want you to talk about Let It Be Us. What do people need to do?
Well, Let It Be Us, for sure, go to our website, letitbeus.org. We were an advocacy group that came together that were either foster parents or adoptive parents that realized, hey, there's a lot of things that we can do to help the state and help DCFS. So we started as an advocacy group that are looking to fill holes in the system and really focus in on the welfare of the kids. Because
I don't mean to cut you off, but everything that Ross has said about it and Lauren, you're doing a fabulous job. Here's what I want to do. I want to have you guys back to talk more about Let It Be Us as this week goes on. But I got a break here.
Okay, great.
On 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.